Welcome to today's best ever. Today is February 26th, and I'm here with my usual cohorts in action.
April Mitchell.
And Chris Scott.
And we're going to bring you some famous birthdays. Uh-huh. X-Men, their own cinematic universe. Cool. Video game news. There was a developer Q&A with Ian Hazakostas. We got some information updates for the new Comic-Con stuff. And I got some tech talk. Oh, and we'll be paying tribute to some recent actor deaths. So let's go ahead and start off with famous birthdays.
Alrighty. I tried to keep the list short and sweet because I've actually finally gotten some feedback on the birthdays. We'll talk later. Anyways, I have one birthday for February 26th. It's a guy by the name of Ed Quinn. He was born 1968. And, sorry, I just shut off. Facebook is being noisy. Born 1968, he's best known as Nathan Park in Eureka.
Yes.
Stan in True Blood and Gabriel Winters in one episode of Castle. It was the castle where they went to, like, the convention of the sci-fi TV show.
Hmm.
And I should watch that. I love that episode. Anyways, February 27th. Is a redheaded bloke by the name of Donald Logue, L-O-G-U-E, born 1966 in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. He is Harvey Bullock in Gotham. Boy. Sean Finnerty, a.k.a. Patty Finnerty in Grounded for Life. That was a great TV show. He was Quinn in the movie Blade. Dan Scott in The Patriot. This is what made me giggle. These two characters he portrayed in these two shows, they rhyme. He was King Horik in Vikings and Lee Torek in Sons of Anarchy. And he was Chuck Martin in ER and Captain Ellis Spear in Gettysburg and apparently Dr. Gunter Janik in the movie Sneakers.
Yes! Very good movie.
This man is a very funny man. I've seen a lot of his work. He might even be the guy that gets to play the white trash guy in the Low Life video for A Theory of a Dead Man, if I remember correctly. Mm. So if you want to see if it's him, go watch their song called Low Life. It's a funny song. Anyways, February 28th, yeah. I have Robert Sean Leonard.
I love that guy.
I know, me too. Born 1969, you know, Wilson on House. That's why yep. I love him most. Neil Perry in Dead Poets Society. That was the first thing I'd ever seen him in. He was Peter Mueller in Swing Kids. And Claudio in Much Ado About, well, it's nothing. Ignore the spelling. Much Ado About Nothinger. And Bernadette Peters, born 1948, fellow redhead, love her. She is Lady Larkin in Once Upon a Mattress in the late 70s. She's in the Mel Brooks movie, Silent Movie, as Vilma Kaplan. I have yet to see that movie. She's Marie in The Jerk. She played the part I played in Annie. She played Lily St. Regis. She was the voice of Sophie, the dowager. There's like lady in waiting or whatever she was in the movie Anastasia. And she played Jodie Papadakis at Ugly Betty. I love March 1st. March 1st is Jensen Ackles.
Mm.
Born 1978. Makes me want to watch Dean Day Afternoon on Supernatural where he gets to talk to animals. We all know and love him as Dean Winchester in Supernatural. Jason Teague in Smallville. CJ in Dawson's Creek and Eric Roman Brady on Days of Our Lives. anyways, then we have Jack Davenport, born 1973 in Suffolk, England. Oh, I love this man because it's James Norrington from the Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Ah, yes.
But he was also in The Talented Mr. Ripley as Peter Smith Kingsley.
I remember that movie. That was a trippy movie.
And there's another movie he's in that I actually bought today because I read about what it's about. And it's called Kingsman, The Secret Service. So I bought it for like $9 and I'm going to watch it.
It's a great movie, April.
Excellent. I'm excited. I bought it. It's like something on Amazon.
Nice. I can't wait till the sequel coming out later this year.
Anyways, March 2nd, Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Born 1968. For all you Bond fans, he's in Skyfall, Casino Royale, Spectre, and Quantum of Solace. But did you know that in Star Wars The Force Awakens, he is in there uncredited as a stormtrooper?
Mm-hmm. He's the one that lets Rey out of the detention room.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I'm like, that's cool.
I know. When I found that out, I actually had to listen to the scene. I heard his voice. I'm like, holy crap, that is him.
He's in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Cowboys and Aliens. Not many people probably liked it, but I did. The Golden Compass. He was Alex West in Lara Croft Tomb Raider. Mm. I like the Elizabeth movies about Queen Elizabeth I. He was in the first one as John Ballard. And then the next one's actually not an actor. we have Mr. Edmund McMillan. Born 1980. He is a video game designer, which is best known for his splash style of games. He created the game Super Meat Boy and the Binding of Isaac games.
Yes.
And I do have two honorable mentions for the second. Dr. Seuss, who was born in 1904 and died September 24th, 1991. Great children's author. My favorite one is the Butter Battle book. And then the other honorable mention is John Bon Jovi, born 1962. Yeah, love John Bon Jovi. He was actually in movies and stuff, too, because he's in that movie I have New Year's Eve. So March 3rd, first we have James Doohan, born 1920, died July 20th, 2005. He's Scotty from the original Star Trek.
Scotty.
Then you have Miranda Richardson, born 1958. I know her best as Lady Van Tassel from Sleepy Hollow and Madame Giry from the Phantom of the Opera movie.
Hmm.
And then March 4th is all you history and historical, you know, historical women writers fans. Tamsin Merchant, born 1987 in Haywards Heath, Sussex, England. She was Mary Rivers in Jane Eyre. Georgiana Darcy in Pride and Prejudice, you know, the movie that Susan tells you to never watch, but I love. She's Anne Hale in the weird show Salem that I watched like 3 episodes of the first season. I don't know if I can handle any more of it. And she played Catherine Howard, the last of King Henry of the VIII's wives to be beheaded in the TV show The Tudors.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then you've got Catherine O'Hara. I love Catherine O'Hara. She was born 1954 in Toronto, Ontario. She was the voices of Sally and Shock in The Nightmare Before Christmas. She's Mrs. Frankenstein, the weird girl in the gym teacher's voice in Frankenweenie. She plays the mom, Jessica Wilhern, in Penelope. In the 2004 movie version of A Series of Unfortunate Events, she played Justice Strauss. And then she was in Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman. And, of course, you know, Delia Dietz in Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
That's where I love her, is Delia Dietz in Beetlejuice.
Isn't she also the mom in Home Alone?
Yes, but I don't like Home Alone, so I didn't. Okay. I post what I know them from.
True enough. I was just trying to remember if that was the same person.
I'm weird. I never liked the Home Alone movies.
Yeah, they're okay.
Okay. Speaking of okay. Oh yeah. What about these X-Men?
I don't know why
do they need their own cinematic universe?
Okay, well honestly, okay. You have to look at it this way. Okay, so I'm very excited for Logan coming out this coming week. So expect next week you're automatically going to get a review of Logan from me. Spoiler free, of course. I mean, excitement definitely, but spoiler free because I'm, you know, I'm cool like that. This, as it is being reported right now, is going to be both Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart's last times playing both Wolverine and Professor Charles Xavier, which is, you know, kind of a little sad. But then you have to remember, the original movies came out, you know, they started filming in 99 and they came out in 2000. So they've been working these characters for almost 17 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Now, and then you're thinking, why, Chris, why are you saying that the X-Men need to have their own cinematic universe? Okay, well, here's a pure reason. And I know this image has been around the internet for years. You know, you remember how back in the 80s, you know, comic books were not popular? Shocker. Yeah. So there was a whole thing where Marvel started selling off the rights to all of the, you know, different properties and all that. And there was always this fun infographic, and I'm actually having to bring it up right now on my screen to get the most recent version. So Marvel owns a whole lot of stuff. You know, they own a lot of their properties still.
Oh, yeah.
But three particular groups are owned elsewhere. Sony Pictures owns, like, Spider-Man, the Sinister Six, you know, basically the whole group of Spider-Man. Universal Pictures owns She-Hulk, Abomination, Hulk, and you know, all of that. But especially with Hulk, they have shared rights with Marvel Studios itself. 20th Century Fox, and of course you're going to notice, recognize this if you've seen Avengers Age of Ultron or Captain America Civil War. And then it alternatively have also, you know, kept an eye on a lot of the stuff from X-Men. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are actually mutants, which goes along with the X-Men and all that. All of that is owned by 20th Century Fox. But, of course, you've had the tie-in where Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch have actually been in a Marvel Studios film, i.e., you know, Civil War and Age of Ultron. So you've got the big Marvel Cinematic Universe, which, I mean, if you're looking at this chart that I'm looking at, I mean, you've got everything that they're already working on now with everything from the Avengers, the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe with Avengers, Captain America, Iron Man, Black Widow, Ant-Man, all of that. They got the Inhumans that's going to have a TV series. You've got Daredevil and Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage that are going to have that have their own shows on Netflix. But X-Men, really, still, remember, X-Men in my eyes is what really resurged and started the whole comic book movie thing. Even though, yes, according to my master list, I think Blade 1 came out the year before X-Men came out. I think it came out in 99, whereas X-Men came out in 2000. So, of course, I always, you know, I still look at Blade. Blade is still good. And Blade now is technically owned by Marvel Studios, i.e. Marvel, you can also reboot Blade while you're at it. So the biggest thing that I see is you've got, okay, DC is its own little thing. DC's slowly trying to build up, and I give them credit, and they don't need to catch up to Marvel Studios. Marvel has their whole, I mean, phase, you know, all these phases of everything they're doing and all that. My feeling is 20th Century Fox has released 9 films now in 17 years, 16 years, with X-Men in 2000 all the way to Logan this coming year. 17 years, sorry. So you've got all of that. What else? What, you're going to have Logan as your final film right now. Yes, there's talk of a fourth X-Men film running with James McAvoy as Professor Xavier and all that. The thing that I'm wondering is, you know what? Why not see more from Marvel? From Marvel in the aspect of the X-Men and what 20th Century Fox owns. Now, yes, 20th Century Fox technically also had another movie in the MCU because of Deadpool, because 20th Century Fox owns Deadpool, you know, Colossus, which, because he's an X-Men, Apocalypse, right. Negasonic Teenage Warhead, all of that. So, I mean, I look at this infographic, and I see the New Mutants, I see Nightcrawler, I see all of the X-Men, I see Gambit, Dazzler, the Fantastic Four, don't get me started on them, and Galactus. I mean, you've got, where they're about to have Thanos for Infinity War as the big bad guy. What if you got Galactus and you don't have him just looking like some pansy-ass, you know, undeveloped planet thing trying to destroy, you know, Earth or whatnot, like the second Fantastic Four movie? Why not create an X-Men cinematic universe? Because outside of the X-Men, there are so many subgroups, so many little groups, and I'm willing to bet that those X-Men characters and offshoots are owned, technically, by 20th Century Fox since they have the X-Men rights. So, I mean, there are different groups within X-Men, like Alpha Flight, Alpha Flight, which was one of the first ones that Wolverine was actually part of. You've got Exiles, you've got New Mutants. I mean, there's Jason, you like mutants, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what is it about mutants that you like versus powered people? If there's anything that you can think of off the top of your head.
Well, the thing about mutants is it feels like it's a play on humanity. So it's possible because it's all genetics.
Right.
So, whereas you're talking about powered people like Iron Man, right? They're just empowered by technology.
Iron Man, or I'm talking about powered in, I'm talking like super powered. So I'm talking more your, yeah, like your,
well,
either by creation. Yeah, like Captain America. Like he's a power, like, or as they call him DC metahumans.
Well, that can get kind of sketchy because even though he's a power human, they mutated him, they altered him. So technically he would be a mutant.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's where you get your little fine line is, do you consider Captain America a mutant, or do you consider him scientifically altered? Which,
right.
again...
It's the same thing, pretty much.
Yeah. So, and I mean, and then you've got, like, Black Panther, who's just a really strong human. Like, a really strengthened human, you know, in part because of his, you know, the adamantium outfit he wears. Because all that Black Panther wears, all of that is made from adamantium.
Mm-hmm.
I know, so it's, like, pretty sweet. But, yeah, there's all these little subgroups within the X-Men mythos that they could totally just roll with, just all the different X-Men groups. And my thought is, why not branch out? If you're going to go ahead and leave your X-Men, you know, if you're going to go ahead and leave your bread and butter for the last 17 years, because, you know, they do want out. I mean, okay, except I have been hearing little snippets, and believe me, there's been things going around Twitter right now saying that Hugh Jackman would revise stay as Wolverine if Wolverine became part of the MCU, a full MCU. So actually him teaming up with Cap and Iron Man and all that. That one day I know is going to get old too. I'm just saying, you know, you will not see Robert Downey Jr. and, okay, maybe Chris Evans, but definitely not Robert Downey Jr. much longer in the MCU, I feel.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Why can't you make more out of the mutants? I mean, April, do you have a particular mutant that you liked out of any of the X-Men that you know of or seen? Besides Deadpool, can't use Deadpool.
I wasn't going to. Not really. I like them all.
Okay.
Good and bad.
And the thing is, they just vary. They vary in their abilities. Their abilities and what they're doing. I mean, even now, at least, they're doing Legion on FX, which is actually a spinoff from X-Men, because it is actually Charles, the lead character is actually Charles Xavier's son. So I think that there could be a lot done when it comes to more in the way of X-Men besides just Xavier, his core group, and that's it. I mean, you've gone from, I mean, do you explore, okay, you don't want to explore more of Wolverine's past, but would you like to know more about Storm? Hell, I want an Iceman movie, standalone movie myself, personally. I've always loved that little son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And I mean, there, and then it's just the, I mean, God knows I've played enough X-Men video games that I know I want to see more. I mean, I would love to see something where Colossus is actually out there doing more than just cleanup for 5 minutes total screen time in all the movies, not including Deadpool. Well, I gotta say it that way just because, you know, he was in the movie a lot more than any of the other 9 of the actual X-Men movies. Because he was in 2 briefly, and then he was in a little bit of...
The problem with Colossus is he's indestructible.
Well, he's indestructible per se if you catch him once he's, you know, put that whole shell around him. But, you know, he still has to activate his power.
He still walks around with it all the time. Like, every time we see him, we don't see him curses just because of CG.
Well, in Daredevil, yes. But if you watched the original, like, X2 and X-Men The Last Stand, he's not always in active form. That's the thing. Just
could be.
He could be, but, you know, and yes, it could be a CGI thing. But that's what I'm looking for. I think that 20th Century Fox needs to realize that they are really in the middle of this huge, you know, genesis of movies, this comic book movie renaissance. Grab onto it and take advantage of it, because they could spin that stuff off. I mean, look at this. You've got an Ant-Man sequel coming off. You got Black Panther going to have its own separate movie. Captain Marvel, the big one they're going to have, which I'm hoping will actually kill off a couple of characters when they do Infinity War. I'm weird. Don't ask me why. I want to see people getting killed off. I know I'm a hater. But it's just that. It's that, you know, we've been dealing with some of the same characters. I want something new. I want new. New is always better. Right, April?
Sure.
I'm quoting Bonnie Stinson. New is always better.
Okay.
So that's why I think that an X-Men cinematic universe, since it is still not owned fully by Marvel Studios, should go ahead. They should take the initiative and actually make their own cinematic universe right now. Technically, they have 9-10 movies technically in the XM, as I'm calling it, the XMCU, the X-Men cinematic universe. I think that could easily grow and eclipse the Marvel cinematic universe. But they gotta do it right. They gotta do it right. That's my whole thing. They gotta do it right. So that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I'm like, mm-hmm. I like them enough to see that.
And of course, then again, there's always the opportunity for more games that they can make. And speaking of games, Jason.
So many games. But we'll start with World of Warcraft. Okay, so like I mentioned earlier, developer Q&A with Ian Hazzikostas. So I just kind of pulled out what I thought was important from what I read and heard them say. Balance of power skins will not be made account-wide, so whatever character you perform it on will only be able to enable that skin. So that's kind of different, a little bit different. Hidden appearances from raid and dungeon bosses have bad luck protection as of patch 7.1.5, so that's good for warriors. Patch 7.1.5 overall secondary stats change was successful in their eyes. Some items, like the Arcano Crystal, are special cases since they didn't have primary stats, so they fixed this by making the stats over the item budget. So they're kind of more powerful than what you normally see. But those will fall off as item levels go up with Tomb of Sargeras. Patch 7.2 relics will have a second trait added to the trait research, adding more possibilities and customization to the relic system. I had mentioned this before, but it's just kind of a reiteration of that. Mm-hmm. Specific dungeons will drop specific traits, which is what I didn't mention. So that's kind of cool. Tier sets and some trinkets that change effects based on spec are somewhat of a concession. The legendary items that are most problematic are the ones that feel like they are universally the best. So like the druid, balanced druid helm, the death knight, I think they have an item too, I think it's the helm, which is also OP. Crafted items don't count against your legendary bad luck protection, which is good. I think that's a great idea. Crafted legendary should be a solid middle of the road legendary. So it's not going to be super powerful, but it's not going to be one of those crappy ones. Only planning for 4 crafted legendary items, so, for this expansion. So that's interesting. Patch 7.2 will add new artifact knowledge catch-up tomes. If you are at 40, you can buy up to 35. In this patch, if you're putting all of your AP into one weapon, then you should only be a few points ahead of anyone distributing it equally across all their weapons. Of course, you know, doing the exact same thing you do. Tier 20 set bonuses have a 6-piece set, so you can do 4-piece bonus, and they kind of made it sound like it's going to be an interesting balance between you picking legendaries or maybe going with the tier 19 2-set bonuses. So you could stack 3 set bonuses, 2 from the tier 20 and, technically you could do 2 from 19, but there's no point to do that because tier 20 will be better. So, and then you could add 2 from, or the 1 from the tier 19 set. So that'll kind of bring up interesting combinations. I'm sure the people over at various websites that do a lot of tuning for that
tuning
will have sets on. I don't know. Ask Mr. Robot might actually have optimization for that. I'll be interesting. Anyways, Tank Trinkets are successful, with passive stats and mitigations being most reliable as active ability. Oh, sorry, most reliable versus active ability. Team wants to shift away from players feeling like there's a finish line for artifact power, because that's kind of been a problem. Mythic raiding teams have been pretty much in a situation where they have to keep running over and over Mythic Maw of Souls, because it has a chance to drop artifact power, and it's one of the fastest ones to run. So guild leaders are expecting raiders to run them chain all week. This was a problem, they feel. Playing endless hours for a small advantage isn't sustainable. So they're looking into that.
Okay.
I'm not sure how they're going to fix that, though. That's all I really had for World of Warcraft. Just want to throw those out there. Blizzard is teasing Overwatch new character, updating the public test realm, the Numbanai map, showing something that the glass-holding Doomfist gauntlets has been smashed and probably being used on the guards as one of them is being punched into the wall, creating this nice spider crack from its origin, so it looks like somebody got punched really hard into the wall. So that's kind of cool. So I'll be curious. It feels like it's going to be more close range if they are indeed using Doomfist's gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that pans out. In other news, who's excited about the Switch?
A little bit. I am, of course.
Because that's being released this coming Friday. So that's awesome.
I saw a new commercial. Of course, they finally had to put out a commercial for something that was more generic. It looked like it was like a straight up. They call it 1-2 Switch. It's literally. It looks like just a party game where it's you versus another person, and just boom, done.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I did see that you can get the like remote controls that look like driver wheels, and it uses one of the two sides of the controllers. So I think if you have two wheels, you could use both. So one controller could be for two players.
Hmm.
So that looked interesting. So Nintendo increased their pre-order release quotas because of the large demand of the system. They're hoping to see the sell just as well as the Wii. So,
well,
which is really crazy.
I hope so.
Yeah. Also, the Switch performance mode may be as high as a boost as 25% of just the base system.
Mm.
So based on like current like releases and all that, what they're seeing and testing and all that. So yeah, they may be able to get more out of it. I mean, it's not going to improve the gameplay as much, you know, but
yeah,
we'll see.
I like what Eric said. Our friend Eric researched it.
Yeah.
And remember he said that what's nice is it's set up so if the controller starts to die, it automatically saves your game.
Oh yeah. There was that cool feature. There was a lot of articles about how just impressive the Switch has been designed. So.
Yeah, I think because of the Wii, they've figured out a few miscues they've had on the last couple of systems.
So I'm looking forward to that. The new Halo game will have split screen support, so which is pretty awesome in my book because you know they've kind of switched to the one game per person, probably increased sales. But I think having the Switch screen will bring back to the old, like, Halo kind of thing. So mm-hmm. You can bring your friend over, and you both can play on the same console, you know, and kind of get that whole same room kind of thing going on, which I feel is, like, missing from a lot of games these days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But most people like playing video games in the comfort of their own homes. Elder Scrolls Online has 8.5 million players, according to MMORPG.com.
Really?
Yeah, they've gained 1.5 million new players in the last year. So I think that's actually pretty impressive. And the game is actually good. Like, I played release, like, initial, like, first time, like, it came out, just the original. Because I think they just did Tamriel, didn't they? So I think there's a new expansion in the works right now. Or maybe it just got released. I'll have to research that. But anyways, very good game. Loved it. It was super buggy when I started playing it, which is probably why I stopped playing it. But I could easily come back to it. I'm sure they fixed a lot of stuff. I know they were giving out a free patch 2017 for like some sort of home stuff, so you can kind of have your own home in the game, or at least improvements on the home party. Pillars of Eternity 2. So there was a Pillars of Eternity, which was a crowdfunded game. Well, 2 has actually been kickstarted and has ended up with 4.4 million, making it the largest crowdfunded game since Star Citizen of 2015.
Hmm.
Which is pretty awesome. I watched the preview trailer for the game. It looks pretty good. And then I went over to Star Citizen and started watching that. And that game looks fantastic. Whoops. Like, overall, at the top. Like, I'm like, I can't wait for it. The thing is, it's still an alpha.
Yeah, it is.
But everything I was seeing and just the trailers and the previews and everything, but it's, of course, it's on rails. So it's like, oh, let's go follow this guy. Let's hug this guy. Let's go fly over here. Let's go have a professional flight guy and go fly me over there. And then they did a little air combat. So I thought it was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they have to work out more quests and all that kind of stuff, I imagine.
I mean, Susan's... I know Susan, you know... You know, my old boss, April's current boss, she's been in the middle of that game since, like, the very first part of the initial Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so she's been fiddling around with that for a while. Yeah. And I know, I can't remember who made it. I know it's Robert Space Industries, but I can't remember what the guy was originally known for.
He was in the videos that I was watching.
I know. I completely blanked on it.
Couldn't tell you off the hand.
Yeah. No biggie.
Okay. That was good. Oh, Chris Roberts.
Chris Roberts, yeah. Oh, Wing Commander.
Yep. Space flight simulator game.
Yep.
Yeah. It's Wing Commander. Oh, a bunch of Freelancer? That's cool. Yeah, Wing Commander, Times of Lore, Strike Commander. Anyways, oh, Harry Potter, the Half-Blood Prince? Oh, that's interesting. Okay, anyways. So, that's all I had for video game news.
Yay!
Well, yeah, that's it. We'll move on to some Comic-Con updates.
Okay.
Pretty exciting.
There aren't a lot. There's 2.
That's exciting.
C2E2, that's going on the weekend of my birthday, has updated with Vincent D'Onofrio, who's on Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's making the circuit this year because now Jewel State is also listed to be at Wizard World in Chicago in August.
Oh, nice.
So now she's doing Wizard World, Indiana, and I don't know, has she been put on for Nova yet? I don't think so.
Not that I've seen, no.
So I think it's just John Barrowman right now that's who I want to see there. Okay, so those are the 2 updates for Comic-Con. Like I said, there weren't many, but they're big. So.
Yep. Slow and steady.
So does that mean we got some cool tech talk going on?
Yeah. So, there was actually, as of this morning, that I'm speaking about right now, that I didn't get to watch, but I went back and watched the video afterwards. SLOOH, S-L-O-O-H, Observatory, is webcasting the Ring of Fire eclipse, which is visible only in the Southern Hemisphere this morning.
Ah.
Well, for those who didn't miss it, they can go watch it, and I have a link in the notes. So it's kind of cool because it's like an eclipse with the sun's like completely red, fire, mm-hmm. like the Ring of Fire. Anyways, I thought that was interesting. Video game industry is lobbying against legislation that would make it easier for gamers to repair their consoles. This kind of probably should have fallen under video game news, but I will. And for consumers to repair all electronics more generally, so not video game. The Entertainment Software Association, including Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, and dozens of video game developers are opposing a right-to-repair bill in Nebraska. The bill requires manufacturers make diagnostic manuals public and offer software tools or firmware to revert an electronic device to its original functioning state caused by software locks preventing independent repair. Because, you know, they don't want people repairing those devices. They want you to send them to them so that they can get lots of money to fix this.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And then
I think it's wrong.
And if you get a third party to actually repair your Xbox, if you try to return it back in, the J-holes at GameStop won't take it because they'll see that the seal's cracked. Yep. But that's another story.
Yeah. Anyways, machine learning AI beats 10 professionals in Super Smash Bros. Melee. The AI learned by playing itself slowly, learning which techniques fail and which succeed. Called reinforcement learning. So And then I think I saw a video of, like, the AI playing itself and 10 different people at the same time. It was just crazy. It lasted 3 hours total. So it was like, it's not worth watching. Like, maybe, like, the beginning and then go all the way to the end kind of thing. But
okay,
it's all Wario versus Wario versus Wario versus Wario.
Oh, my God. So we've evolved from, you know, a computer facing humans playing chess to a computer facing humans playing Super Smash Brothers.
Exactly. That's how I kind of felt it. That's
nice.
All right. So in sad news, and probably some people have heard about this, the Garmin engineer was shot and killed by a man yelling, "Get out of my country." Srinivas, I'm going to butcher his name, Kuchibhatla, was shot and killed at a local bar in Olathe, Kansas. A co-worker, Olak Madasani, was injured with bystander Ian Grillett as they were trying to help stop the fight. The only reason why I wanted to mention this is because I know people who have worked with him. So, I mean, it was kind of sad. Unfortunately, the world is like that.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and move on to something a little more happier. The missing $10,000 package of Super Nintendo games was found by the post office. So this was the package. I don't think I mentioned it last week, but I read about it last week. There was this package of games that got lost in the mail that was sent from PAL because it's going to have it's for a preserve project of every Super Nintendo game ROM ever made. Mm-hmm. So collecting donations to try to get another copy made, but they're going to go ahead and refund those since the post office found it. I don't know, maybe it was because of like a bunch of social, you know, people getting together and calling the post office and being like, "Where's our package?" or "Their package? Please find it." I imagine that would hopefully be the case.
Yeah.
Okay, and then one other thing I've got, and I thought this was interesting. According to a new study published in the journal Cell, a certain type of fasting diet can trigger the pancreas to regenerate itself.
Really?
Yeah. Rich's advice, people not try this without medical advice, though.
Well, yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. But they experimented with mice, and they modified it, put on a modified form of the fasting-mimicking diet. It is like the human form of the diet, when people spend 5 days on a low-calorie, low-protein, low-carbohydrate, but high unsaturated fat diet. It resembles a vegan diet with nuts. And so, but yeah, they found that it actually helped improve the pancreas functioning and actually regenerate the pancreas.
Nice.
That's all I've got.
Oh,
okay.
I got two minor quick little bits. One, and I don't know if you've looked at your phone yet, Jason, this morning or April,
yesterday.
Yeah, I just got the big Nougat update for my Android. So I now officially am running 7.0 Android.
Cool.
Yeah, you know.
I have an iPhone.
I know. That's why I was like, April, probably not so much anymore. But yeah, apparently I'm looking at the info on 7.0 and it's supposed to be pretty good. But, you know, time will tell when it comes to what I see. Point two is it looks like that, you know how I said that the Gear VR, and you know you guys said, played around with it when I had it around there. Mm-hmm. How it's kind of like, you know, just not much of anything. It's just you put it on, you got the little thing, you know, on the side, and that's it. Apparently, they've got Gear VR 2.0 that they're going to be coming out with a motion controller. So they are slowly, Samsung is slowly starting to get towards where it's going to be more, more haptic, which is what I'm looking forward to. I want more of a haptic feel. I want to be able to move my hands, do whatever, and go from there. So, go Samsung.
Woo!
Okay, I'm done.
Okay. I'm going to quickly talk about these two deaths. When I was actually researching the first one is when I, or actually researching how I have them listed, the second one, I came across the first one. I'm like, oh, that's sad, because I was sad when his, you know, what happened to his character in the TV show. We're not going to give too many spoilers, because it was a Game of Thrones episode. So, first, I learned that Bill Paxton, who was born May 17th, 1955, died this morning, February 26th, 2017, from complications following a surgical procedure. Very sad, very sudden, unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I kind of want to know the surgical procedure to see what they screwed up.
I agree.
Well, that's just me. But for those of you who don't know, he was just a soldier in stripes. He was the punk leader in Terminator. Chet Donnelly in Weird Science.
Chet.
Private Hudson in Aliens. Morgan Earp in Tombstone. I love Tombstone. I was just talking about Tombstone recently.
Hmm.
Simon in True Lies. He was Fred Hayes in Apollo 13. I love Apollo 13. Hmm. And, of course, you know, we all love Twister. Bill yep. Harding. Titanic. He was Brock Lovett, the guy, the treasure hunter. Mighty Joe Young, Greg O'Hara. What I found funny is he was in Spy Kids 2, Island of Lost Dreams, and Spy Kids 3, Game Over, his Dinky Winks.
Mm-hmm, yep.
I think I've seen them both, but it's been a while. He was John Garrett in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
mm-hmm.
and he was Joe Loader in Nightcrawler. So he's done quite a few things, and there's even more than that. I just picked the most prominent that some I liked or some I saw mentioned in articles. So
yeah actually,
it's very sad. I liked him, especially in Twister.
Me too. I could watch that movie anytime. The thing that I saw was people are posting on Twitter, he's faced a Terminator, an Alien, and he was also in Predator. Mm-hmm. So he's faced
He was listed in Predator, but wasn't a huge fan of Predator.
Yeah, so he's faced down three big bads, like mm-hmm. three big bad aliens. That's pretty sweet. Okay, yeah. who's the other one?
So in researching that, I came across it said Game of Thrones actor dies at the age of 36. I'm like, wait, what? So I delve a little deeper. His name was Neil Fingleton. He was born February 18th, 1981, so he just had a birthday. He's a year older than me and Jason.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Durham, England. He died yesterday of heart failure. I think it had something to do with his height. Because he was 7'7". I guess he started growing when he was... I guess he stopped growing, like, age of 18 when he hit 7'7".
Damn.
I mean, damn.
I mean, that's a foot and a half taller than Jason and I.
Yeah.
I dated somebody 6'5", and that's still a foot 2 inches taller than that, and that hurt my neck.
Yeah, I mean, that's 25% higher than Jason and I. That's a foot and a half. It's like, what?
But apparently he was in quite a few things. He was best known for doing the stunts, and he was the motion caption actor of Ultron in Avengers Age of Ultron.
I did not know that, honestly.
He was one of the Russian general's bodyguards in X-Men First Class.
Hmm.
And he was the giant Mag the Mighty in Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
For us avid Game of Thrones watchers, we love you, Mag. the Fisher King on the Before the Flood episode of the year 2015 season of Doctor Who as well. So he's done quite a few things, and he will be missed. The death is a little less known than Bill Paxton, but... it helped me find it.
Yeah.
So, Bill Paxton and Neil Fingleton, may you rest in peace, and thank you for the wonderful contributions to our cinema media. Thank you, and rest in peace.
Yeah. Actually, April, I'm reading an AP report right now. I got to add one more right now, and this is it's kind of funny because people probably were thinking he was already dead. Developing story. Joseph Wapner, who presided over the People's Court on TV, has apparently died, age of 97.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
they're dropping like flies.
I know, and but he was 97. He lived a nice full life, and he was popular. I mean, come on, who can't say any of the three of us didn't watch at least one episode of the People's Court?
True.
Yeah. So
that theme music, I'll never forget it.
I know, you could hear it, you could just hear that.
I can't recreate it, but I have it in my head.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So, on that note, I will do our social media crap.
Spiel.
We have a website, www.ingloriousgeeks.com. We are on Facebook as Inglorious Geeks. We are on Twitter as Inglorious_Geek. Instagram is Inglorious Geeks 3. You can find our episodes on our website, iTunes, and Stitcher. And for the love of God, if people don't start commenting, I will make a MySpace page. Don't think I won't.
Oh, God. I'll start commenting.
Oh, well, my. I did get one nice area of feedback. So I found out one of my friends watches, and it was definitely good feedback and something that I'm going to work on for the future.
Cool.
Whatever listens to. I have pickleball in my brain. Video. I want this over.
Yeah, we'll start doing video. Hey, if we get enough comments, we'll start doing video.
Yeah. Well, we do plan on doing at least audio recordings while we're at the Bear Growl.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Tickets purchased!
Woo! Nice.
You have to go to their website if you want to get a ticket.
Gotcha.
I figured I would let you go at your discretion if you want to go.
And there's
or not.
No additional fees for handling or anything. So
nice.
It's just as good just to buy it yourself than to.
But you know, to give you forewarning, they're making you pay to park now.
Yeah, well, I kind of expect that.
You can purchase them in advance, $5, or you can pay day of $10. Mm. But I think you have to go to the station and pick them up if you pre-purchase.
Yeah, not like I'm not going to be down there anytime soon.
Right.
Anyhow, on that note.
On that note. We are the Inglorious Geeks, so sit down.
Shut up.
And roll initiative.
Time for pickleball, everybody.
Yeah, buddy. And also, remember to turn off your admin rights and your computer for whatever account that you log in with. It will reduce the chances of your malware infections by 94%. So
that 1% matters.
Yep. Yes. And go out and see Logan this week, coming weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Or if you're really feeling frisky, go see 50 Shades Darker.
You liked that, didn't you, April?
I did. It was good. Although I thought I was a creeper because I was sitting in the theater by myself.
Oh my.
I kind of felt like a pervert.
Oh,
like the first 10 minutes of the movie. And then I was fine until I got into the movie. But anyways, enough of that. Have a good week, everybody.
Yeah. Bye, all.
We'll talk to you all next week.